Welcome to the Mindful Fire Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. My dad will be so grateful. See you next time on the Mindful Fire Podcast.
Welcome to the Mindful Fire Podcast, a show about crafting a life you love and making work optional, using the tools of mindfulness, envisioning, and financial independence. I'm your host, Adam Cuello, and I'm so glad you're here. Each episode of the Mindful Fire Podcast explores these three tools through teachings, guided meditations, and inspiring interviews with people actually living them to craft a life they love. At its core, Mindful Fire is about creating more awareness and choice in your life. Mindfulness helps you develop self-awareness to know yourself better and what's most important to you by practicing a kind, curious awareness. Envisioning is all about choosing to think big about your life and putting the power of your predicting brain to work to create the life you dream of. And financial independence brings awareness and choice to your financial life, empowering you to make your vision a reality by getting your money sorted out and ultimately making work optional. And here's the best part. You don't have to wait until you reach financial independence to live out your vision. Mindful Fire is about using these tools to craft that life now on the path to financial independence and beyond. If you're ready to start your Mindful Fire journey, go to mindfulfire.org/start and download my free envisioning guide. In just 10 minutes, this guide will help you craft a clear and inspiring vision for your life. Again, you can download it for free at mindfulfire.org/start. Let's jump into today's episode. Rich, welcome to the Mindful Fire Podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Adam, thanks for having me. Really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. For the audience, just a quick note on how Rich and I know each other. We actually met 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. We both work at Google, and I was facilitating a workshop called Search Inside Yourself, which is an emotional intelligence leadership course that teaches those topics through mindfulness. And I was teaching a course in Mountain View, California at Google's headquarters. And Rich was in my class. And at some point, he raised his hand and was sharing. And I think you were talking about something about your podcast, that you had a podcast. And at that point, I just had a faint idea that maybe at some point, I'd like to explore a podcast. And I was like, I got to go talk to him. So basically, during the break, the lunch break, I just went and bombarded him with 50 questions about podcasting and all the stuff that he was working on. And fortunately, we've kept in touch since and caught up every once in a while, always have good chats. And now I was on your podcast and now you're on my podcast. So really excited to have you here and excited to explore this topic of what it means to invest in yourself and what mental wealth means as well. So again, welcome, Rich.
Thank you. And it's been interesting because even what mental wealth is has evolved for me even over the last 6 months, over the last year, from the time that I changed the name of the show, which was in 2021, I want to say that it was. So from the time that I changed the show then and thinking a lot more about the financial to doing a lot of this deep healing work and investing in myself, as I know we're going to talk about today, and having this mental and emotional space and saying, oh, money is wealth too, but this space that I'm creating for myself, these opportunities that I'm creating because of the space that I have, that is equally as important as the financial wealth, if not more important. So really excited to have this conversation.
Yeah. And I really loved the rebrand. One, I love the play on words, mental wealth, right? It's just mental health, wealth, right? Like I felt like it was a perfect segue for you. But just this idea that mental wealth is more important than the money piece, right? The money piece is certainly important. Don't get me wrong, but you can have mental wealth without money, right? But you really need to make it a priority. And so I think that it really shows that there's just a whole lot more to living a rich life or a wealthy life than just having money in your bank account. So I love that.
And yeah, I totally agree. And I see well-being and wellness in particular, it's a lifelong journey. So even with mental wealth, it doesn't mean things are perfect. Things are going magically forever. Even like with the word balance, like there is never a perfect state of balance. It's just a constant act of things coming in, coming out. Sometimes you have time for things more than others. Sometimes that switches. So it's fully there with you.
Exactly. All right, Rich. So hinted at your journey, but would love for you to just share a little bit about who you are, your journey, and what you're up to these days.
Yeah. So I'm a health and performance coach, speaker, and master's track and field athlete on top of working in diversity, equity, and inclusion by day at Google. And really the most biggest thing that's been happening over these past couple of years is getting back into track and field after not competing for 15 years. And the way that I was able to create space through that actually goes back to 2020 when I made the decision to quit alcohol. So a lot of the time before that, and I've been working in corporate America since 2005, but for a lot of time before that, I struggled with alcohol. I struggled with alcohol up until 2020. So basically struggling with it for most of my adult life. And I've had roles and career moves and hosted podcasts and been on stages and things like that. But what I also found is I kept getting what I wanted and I still wasn't happy, you know, until I made that decision to, one, stop alcohol. And people think that was the beginning of the healing journey, but it wasn't. It was the beginning of the physical healing in terms of the damage that I'd done to my body, but the mental and emotional healing would come later. That would really start in 2022. So I usually take this approach to, oh, people say, tell me about yourself. And it's, oh, I thought you were going to talk about the experience growing up and how you ended up a coach. And I'm like, this is how I ended up a coach. Because when I made that decision to quit, I also started working with a leadership coach around the same time. And then I took a mental health leave from work, which we could talk more about. It makes sense. And learning about the diagnosis of what I've lived with all of the time and everything that I've done since then. And now really my goal is to show people what's possible, to show people what can be accomplished if you're willing to commit to doing the work. And even with my podcast, The Mental Wealth Show, my thing is, yes, to bring on people who are experts in different areas, and yes, to share insights and tips as a health and performance coach. But it's also to show that like the stuff that I'm talking about, I've been through it. The doubt, and very vulnerable, very honest, as folks may hear today, the doubts that I've felt, the times where it looked like I was winning, but I wasn't, sitting at my desk having panic attacks with the camera off during work meetings. I talk about all that stuff because that's part of life. And I can't remember who said it to me, but someone, I think it might've been my coach, shout out to Kayvon, that what's most private or what's most personal is what's most universal, which I thought was really interesting because sometimes I'm sharing this stuff. You know how it is as a podcaster, you don't get feedback. It's like, are people listening? Are people connecting? And you have to trust when you're sharing stuff like this, that it actually is resonating with people because these are the things that folks think, but normally don't say.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, that has been a big realization for me, even just in the last couple of days. Just the fact that the more real and more vulnerable you can be with your story and the struggles that you've gone through, the more people resonate with it. Like I was mentioning to you before that I was on I had an episode that I just dropped this week with Liz Carroll, the Mindful Money Coach. And I was getting very real about my own struggles with scarcity mindset, with not being willing to invest in myself or my projects. And anyone who's listened to this podcast for any length of time knows that I just keep it real. And I basically turn every episode into a free coaching call / therapy session with the guest. Yeah. And sometimes it feels weird to do that, but the feedback that I've been getting is, wow, that's so refreshing and so relatable. And especially for like these finance podcasts or whatever, where it's just like a bunch of people like showing up as experts and giving their expert opinion and things like that. Everyone has struggles. Everyone has insecurities and doubts and things that they're working on. And so I think that the more that we can show that, the more that people connect with us and what we're doing. So it's been a big realization for me, even in the last couple of days. And I know listening to your podcast that I feel that with yours as well.
Yeah. And there's an element, and your show being about mindfulness, it's something I have to practice a lot of, especially as someone with ADHD and getting back to center and things like that. But also there's this element of self-compassion that's required too, because in the corporate context, working in corporate America, going into any company, you can figure out what the rules are, the lay of the land, how things work, what it takes to get promoted. I don't want to use the word manipulate, but you learn how to play the game. Whereas with some of this other stuff, particularly when you get into entrepreneurial pursuits, and I'll put podcasting in that bucket, whether or not you're doing it for money, there's a lot that is just out of your control. And there are things that you may know, you may put out an episode and you're like, oh, this one's really going to kill them. This is going to go double platinum and it goes double wood. If you've had that experience, and I've had
sure,
to have a lot of...
Sure, I have.
Yeah. So I've had to have a lot of self-compassion, especially as someone that's pivoting. So imagine someone doing this in their career. This is applicable to anyone, whether someone's doing it in their career, in their business, where as you're learning, and in some instances, when you're making a pivot, you feel like you're starting over and you're having to learn things again from scratch and you're making mistakes and things that you haven't done in a long time. I've had moments that have made me realize, am I actually getting old? Am I now one of the older generations? Because I don't understand how this thing works. So I've had to have a lot of self-compassion too, while along this journey, as I've, even with like therapy, how people think, oh, you go to it and then there's a point where the healing is done. The healing is not just done. Right. Healing is forever. So I've even had points where I've been triggered by something and went back into what felt like an old loop or an old cycle, at least in mental thoughts, not in actual behaviors, things like drinking and stuff like that. And I've had to remind myself that, A, humans have thoughts. Just like anything else, even the feelings that come with it, those will go away like everything else has. So even as when, especially when you're doing something as lonely as this, as creating a podcast or running your own business can be, that self-compassion is crucial too.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I've found that this pursuit, it's like a self-awareness magnifier, right? Because all the things that come up that, like for me, procrastination, perfectionism, avoidance, right? All these things that, like, you know, it's like beating myself up. Oh, it's not far enough, or it's not good enough, or it's whatever. It comes up all the time. And it's just like such a, if you can bring that self-compassion, if you can bring that mindfulness, that ability to see with as much objectivity as possible and kindness and curiosity, you can be like, oh, wow, there's that pattern again. Oh, okay. This is interesting. And you can like work through it a little bit, and it's going to keep coming up. That's, I think you made a great point. Like the healing is not done, right? And the self-awareness is never done because we're learning and growing and evolving. So these things are lifelong practices in my opinion. And yeah. Sometimes it feels like I want to rush to get there when I got to remind myself, like, this is a lifelong thing. I don't need to be at any certain point in my business or in my healing or my self-knowledge. Just relax a little bit, man.
Yeah, it's so tough, especially when you want to do a good job. You've been used to doing things really well. For a lot of us, the voices, the beating ourselves up is part of how we've gotten to where we've gotten in life.
True.
Whether that's motivation by fear or motivation by being exposed as a fraud. I know that's another thing for people where they want to be on top of each and everything because they feel like if they're not, they're going to be exposed. That's another feeling that people deal with. There's also, I think for folks who are, let's say, creating social media content, there's what you're actually experiencing versus what you're actually displaying to the world. And there's that for everybody. And I've had the struggle too in the past where I've been thinking like, I need to be putting myself out here as this and that. And I eventually realized that I need to be, and those I should statements were telling me that I was focusing externally on what other people were doing and what was working for them as opposed to what works for me. So in this season, I've scaled some things back, whether it's the podcast production frequency. I'd made a push into YouTube for a bit and was like, you know what, for the amount of money this is costing and the return that I'm getting on this and how much stress and anxiety this is creating for me, I need to put this on the back burner for now. And I thought about why I was even so focused on doing it. And it was trying to prove something to like a past audience that's not even my audience anymore, being completely real with you. It was something that I was hanging on to from the past. And I think that's often what can get us in trouble, is that seeking external validation and looking for external factors to help validate internal things that are going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My dad has this phrase, what other people think of me is none of my business. Wow. I like that. And I try to live that. And I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at that. But the validation thing always comes back. In the environment that we work, right? Everyone we work with was like a straight A student, right? And just, I feel like I had something recently where like a teacher was like giving me validation. I was like, this is great. This is great. I'm still doing this, dude. I'm 35 years old. Get away from this. Come on. But these are things that we've practiced year again and again. It's not like you're just going to realize it intellectually and just put it behind you.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said the importance of practice and it being again and again, because the clarity that I have right now and the way that I'm speaking right now is not the way that I would have spoken 2 years ago. It's not the way that I would have spoken a year ago, but it's required at this point, like years of effort to get here. And I know that it's going to be years of effort going forward. And I know we all want the proverbial blow up where our podcast is getting 25,000 downloads or our website is going Nova. I know that I eventually want that, even given the pivot that I've just made. But I also know that takes time, because I've been doing things online really since 2008, whether it was freelance writing, blogging, podcasting since 2013. And I know now, after having seen peers rise, having had my own rise in when I was in personal finance in terms of what I was talking about, what I was doing there, I know that takes. And so even now, maybe it's part of the self-compassion, maybe it's something else, is I have to bring myself back and say, yo, you know how this goes. There could be a magic blow up that happens where I get featured somewhere. And even that, like I used to chase the features. And if I didn't get included in this list, it was the end of the world. Whereas now I'm just like, I know that this takes time. And I know that the longer I wait, the longer it's going to take to get where I want to go. And I know that consistency or sustained effort over time is what gets results. So I've got to be able to put my head down and move through that. And that's why one of my affirmations is I will push through the discomfort and fear, because those are the things that I run into the most. And if I know that if I don't move through those things, I'm not going to ultimately get where I want to go. But again, it took time to get to this place.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of gets to the theme of what we're talking about here today, which is like investing in yourself, right? I really like this. Obviously, I'm a big fan of investing. I really like this idea of thinking about everything as investing in yourself, right? Like investing money, right? You put money in the market and it continues to grow, right? You keep showing up, you keep putting money in, right? The same thing can be applied to entrepreneurial pursuits, podcasting, whatever it is. If you keep showing up and doing the work, it's going to compound, right? And the same guest I had the other day, Liz, she said her mantra is, I'll never regret investing in myself, right? There will never be a time where I regret investing in myself, because she had a good point. She's, if you invest money, you could lose that money and then that's gone, right? She had invested in Bitcoin and that went to zero, whatever she had done, one of these things that just disappeared. But she's, if I invested that in some knowledge or some course or some education, I have that forever, right? It's now part of me, right? And so I'm trying to think about this with varying degrees of success in the healthy eating, exercise, sleep, right? You can think about all these things as like making deposits into the account of you, right? Yeah. And as I said, I have varying degrees of success with this. But would love to hear, maybe, how do you think about investing in yourself? What does that mean to you, investing in yourself?
It's a couple of things. One, knowing where you're going, because then you're just investing for the sake of investing and you don't really have a strategy behind it. And you don't always have to know the exact endpoint, but you've got to know your values and you have to have a general idea of where you're going. So investing in self for me is doing things for you that serve you in the short term and in the long term. So it could be something as simple as, and investing doesn't always mean it has to be financial either. It could be something as simple as, you know what, I'm going to start going for a walk once a week so I can get into the habit of moving around. That's something that can be as a simple investment in self. But also, if you found yourself stuck in a loop or you find yourself in a cycle where despite your best efforts, you can't seem to get to where you want to go, then that's probably a time where you need to think about investing in yourself, whether that be a financial investment, whether it be something like a coach, or maybe it's working with a consultant, or it could also be investing in taking a course, a program. It could be invested in working with a coach to learn a skill. For example, with me working with a track and field coach, because I knew if I wanted to get back to the level of competitiveness that I wanted to get to, I wasn't going to be able to close that gap by myself alone, especially in the amount of time that I wanted to be able to do it. So when I think about what it means to invest in yourself, it's about doing things selfishly. You could take that word how you want, but it's about doing things selfishly that serve you and help you move toward the life that you want to live, whatever that may be, whatever point in time that is.
Yeah, I really love what you brought up about having a clear idea of where you want to go, right? It doesn't have to be crystal clear. It doesn't have to be the one and only potential path. It doesn't have to be crystal clear. It doesn't have to be the one and only path, but you have to have a general idea, right? That's why I think envisioning is so powerful, right? Because you set your mind, you create some space to think big about your life, where you want to go, what you want your life to look like. And then you just start moving towards that, right? Little by little, your brain does some of the work for you, but you got to take action yourself. And you can just show up and make these little investments, whether they be financial or effort-wise or whatever it might be. Once you, if you have that idea, you can start moving towards it. And little by little, you start to see the progress. So I think that's a really important point. I'd love to hear, I know investing in yourself has been huge over the last several years, and you've done it in various ways. I'd love to hear how you, like your journey of healing and investing in yourself. And would love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. And I said earlier that the things I talk about, I've lived it. And so when I, all the, even when we're talking about investing in yourself, some, maybe not every example, but some of the examples I've given are probably from my own personal experience. But even that idea of feeling like despite your best efforts, you feel like you keep coming back to the same place again and again. That's where I was in July 2020 when I made the decision to quit alcohol. I kept coming back to this place of waking up and feeling like crap. And also just professionally, and even the way that I felt about things like podcasting and some of my creative pursuits, I felt I had that nagging feeling of not being where I was supposed to be, or not being where I wanted to be, even realizing afterwards that where I thought I wanted to be was based off of what other people were doing and where they were, and the validation that I wanted from external folks and from external factors. And so it was at that point that I started working with a leadership coach. Now, thankfully, I didn't just say, you know what, I'm going to go seek a coach. I'll be totally honest with you. This brother, somebody who we worked with, this brother, Kayvon, I mentioned him earlier, my leadership coach, we'd worked together at Google for a number of months. It might have even been a few years, but at least a number of months on adjacent teams in the same org. And he was already doing his coaching thing outside of work. And I had talked to him. I was still drinking at the time. And I remember telling him that, man, I wish I had a role like yours where it created like more space for reflection and time to think. And you don't have to spend all day on the phone, because I was working in staffing at the time, which recruiting, sales, those are just roles where you're constantly in meetings and you're constantly on the phone. And one day, I don't know what led him to extend the offer, but one day he said, hey, I would love to take you on as a pro bono coaching client. I just see something within you. I don't know what he saw. I'm glad that he saw it. But that ended up being how I started working with him as a coach. And it's one of the best things that I started doing. So I want to be very clear about that. I didn't say, you know what, I need a coach. That did fall into my lap. But I did become a paying customer and stick with it, because I saw the impact that it was already having on my life and my ability to make decisions that serve me first. So that was investment one. Eventually, it was just a time investment, and it was an investment more for my coach because it was pro bono. But eventually, that became a paid investment and one that I continue to this day. So that's one example. The second example is even working with a strength and conditioning coach. So I'd mentioned I'd been out of track and field for 15 plus years. And the other thing that I've had a lot of problems with over the years is back and core pain. So I didn't know that it was actually my core, but I would find myself in situations where I would throw out my back folding a blanket. I would throw out my back stepping off the curb wrong. These are things that really happened. And I started working with actually a podcast listener who had reached out to me, heard me mention back pain on the show, gave me a couple tips. And then eventually when I was having like issues, we actually started working together. I was like, you know what? I don't think he's a psycho. He's not going to kill me if he comes to my house. And I started working with him on a paid basis because he was helping me address some of the core deficiencies that I had and some of the things that I would find out were leading to hamstring injuries and other injuries that I was having. So had I not worked with this strength and conditioning coach, shout out to Andrew, I might still be having some of the same core challenges that I had in the past. And I wouldn't be able to heal as quickly from when I do have injuries because I would have still been doing the same things that I was doing for years and years that ultimately didn't get results. So it's things like that where you realize you really have to have that self-awareness to realize that something's not working. And I realized that with just how I felt about the progress I was making professionally or entrepreneurially. I felt that about the pain, the recurring back pain that actually turned out to be a result of weak hip flexors. I wouldn't have learned that if I didn't start working with a strength and conditioning coach. And then the last one, just to give us a nice three, starting to work with a EMDR therapist, so eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And I started that in September 2021 when I took a mental health leave from work and learned that I've lived with complex PTSD most of my life. So most people know PTSD. They think someone coming back from the military. They think of things like that. It's a lot broader than that. With CPTSD, it's usually something related to longer-term trauma or repeat events. And I eventually started working with an EMDR therapist on that in 2021. And that's what led to, that was really the beginning of the healing right there, was when I started that therapy. Because even working with a leadership coach, even having a therapist that I've been working with since 2017, I forgot about that investment because I've been making it for so long. I was still having these issues with emotional memories and how I was responding to certain things, my anxiety and how I was showing up in certain spaces. And so I started investing in this therapy methodology because I wanted to put an end to some of the other cycles that were happening, things that I felt were holding me back despite the other investments I'd already made in myself. So I hope that gives you a sense of like how it's an ongoing thing where sometimes people will want to invest in you, which is fantastic. But then other times it's about realizing that something's not working, accepting it, letting that ego part go and enlisting the support you need again to get to where you want to go. Because even through all this, I've always had some type of vision of where I wanted to be. And it's evolved and changed, especially as I've gotten more in touch with self. But I've always had a general idea, and track and field being one thing, it's something I've thought about for like years on end. So getting back into that was super clear and made it a lot easier for me to get what I needed to get where I wanted.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And what's really standing out to me is one, the requirement of self-awareness, right? The ability to look within and notice what's working, what's not working. And that takes knowing yourself, right? That takes getting some level of space where you can start to see these patterns a little bit more clearly. And maybe for you, that was, you know, partially while you were drinking, the repeated patterns there, but then also probably became a lot more clear once you stopped drinking. And once you have that awareness, you can, what I'm also hearing is that you realize that you don't have all the information that's going to get you from here to there. And you had, luckily, a couple of people in your orbit that you were able to, that kind of came to you with, you know, some expertise, and you were able to recognize, hey, this person has the information that I need to unlock this part of my life, whether it be the leadership coach to help, you know, who was saw in you the potential and that probably could recognize what was holding you back, and you started working through that, or the strength and conditioning coach that literally knew something that you didn't know and couldn't know. And so you were able to start going to them for their expertise, and those investments really paved the way for all of the things you were able to do later.
And can I say, it also saved me money in the long run when you think about it, because particularly with the back pain stuff, I'd been going to doctors, getting prescriptions, buying devices, doing all sorts of other stuff. And who knows how much more time I could have lost from being down. If you hurt your back before, like, it can really take you out the game.
Yeah.
And then even
living with chronic back pain.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, you could be having surgeries that could put your life at risk and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Like, absolutely. You address the underlying problem rather than treating the symptoms.
Yeah, exactly. And then something as simple as like back pain, learning that a lot of that was actually with my hips has changed the way that I think about sitting, which is something that I do all the time. And most people, I can confidently say most people underestimate the extent that sitting all day like impacts their body. They think it's just sitting, like they know they're being, they say couch potato, but no, it's like tightening muscles, it's shortening muscles, it's creating weaknesses and imbalances. And those are things I wouldn't have known about. And I can only imagine how many other injuries and things that I would have come upon if I didn't get that knowledge from someone who knew that area better than me. Like this stretch that I've had these past few months, it's like the first time that I've been able to just walk around without any back pain. Even through all like the rehab and everything, there's always been like a little something there that pops up here and there. But these past few months, like I've been the best that like I've been in years in terms of that pain, to the point where, and then this is when you know, is when you just sit down and you have a moment or you do something that normally would hurt and you're like, wait a second, wait, when is the last time I felt, wow, I haven't felt that hip pain or I haven't felt that issue in 3 months.
Yeah.
But look what it took to get here. And part of that was doing an 8-week core strengthening challenge to start 2023. But again, because I knew the value of the core strength and there were things that I learned from the last track and field season, while fantastic things happened, investing in a track and field coach, investing in a long jump coach. Yeah. I'm not winning a national championship in 2022 for my age group in the triple jump without investing in a track and field coach. In fact, my focus was just on the long jump because that's what I knew and that's what I did in college. And she saw me at the beginning of practice one day warming up and was like, hey, how come you don't do this event? You've done it before. I had done it in college, but I wasn't good at it. And she's like, why don't you do this? And we started working on that. And then the first meet that I did that in, I ended up hitting the All-American status based on distance for my age group.
Nice.
And then at the outdoor championships, I end up on my last jump, producing the best jump of the other competitors in my age group and some of the other age groups. And I win my first national championship. And then in March 10th, turned 40 years old, March 11th, kicked off my 2023 track and field season and won a national championship in the long jump. And again, and this, you can't tell me that this isn't a result of all the investments that I've made, not just even in the track coach, but in the therapy to create the mental space, to also learn that track and field to me is quite meditative in a way. It's a time where I can get away from everything and just focus on and be fully present and focus on what's happening and have those feelings of micro achievement. And there's other things like that too, whether it's like going to the gym, and I've learned like, hey, these are also things that are part of my well-being, investing in myself and becoming a certified wellness coach so that I had the formal body and knowledge behind me. And I did that because I saw the power of these other investments and I want to be able to show people like, yo, you can turn things around. So that's what I mean. Again, it's examples of identifying what you need, whether it's in the short term or the long term. And again, like things have, I didn't think I was going to be a health and wellness coach 2.5 years ago. My coach has been telling me that I was going to be a coach. He saw me as a coach and I refused to believe it. I thought that I was someone who never wanted to do to trade time for money. But in this season of my life, I've learned I enjoy it. Like it actually recharges me to work with people in that capacity. And that's, again, a chance that I wouldn't have taken or something I wouldn't have thought about if I didn't have these various folks in my network, or as what I like to call within my life portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. Example after example that you just gave is the value of unbiased third party perspective. Your track and field coach, she saw that you had a knack or
she basically saw me skipping, and that's how I'll describe it. She was like, your rhythm is good. Your rhythm is great.
Yeah, exactly. Her knowledge, her expertise saw in the way that you were moving an opportunity for you that you wouldn't have been able to see yourself, that you quite frankly probably thought that you weren't good at because you had done it before in college and you didn't do well then, but for whatever reason back then was different. And with the leadership stuff to become a coach and all of that. So that third party perspective is super valuable. And honestly, in any of the coaching that I've done, whether it be even just like with friends who are trying to make a change or get a job or whatever, or even at work where I'm like looking at a client's website and helping them with something, right? Like me coming in, bringing a perspective that is different than theirs is valuable in itself. And so for each of us, like how can we find people, whether we pay them or they're just friends or they're people that we work with or whatever, how can we leverage that third party perspective to see something about ourselves that we might not automatically see. At the same time, I would say continue to invest in knowing yourself and trusting yourself, because there's a risk. And I've gone down this road of looking outside myself for the answers to other people who seem like they got it all together or are experts. That's usually in not in this examples that you just gave, but I think there's a huge element of needing to know yourself and trust yourself and
yes.
and know that you can trust the wisdom that you have of where you want to go and where you've been through and all of that. So it's a balance. I think there's definitely a balance there.
Yeah. And it's, and I realize everyone is in different financial spots with different goals. And I think we're striking a good balance of talking about things that cost money, don't, things you can do for yourself, investments in time. And but I want to underscore that the things I'm investing in, and I posted this on LinkedIn as well, is I invest over $10,000 a year in my development. And I have no issue saying that people are like, man, some people can't afford that, man. That's just, I'm like, no. I've worked for 15 years. I work in tech in corporate America. There are a lot of people like me who are feeling the imposter syndromes and all of these other things. People who you think are good because of where they work, and they're not actually good.
Far from it in a lot of cases.
Far from it. And or work is all that they have. That's their primary identity because they're struggling in so many other areas in terms of what they think about themselves.
Yeah.
And so where I'm at now, like I know that, and I know that there are people who have similar income or have that ability to invest in themselves, but they're not thinking about it. And I want them to know that's something that's available to them or could help them get out of whatever mental or emotional rut that they're in.
Yeah, I'll speak for myself. I have realized that I'm unwilling to invest in myself financially. I'm getting better. Like, for instance, this year, I've invested in like an online personal training thing, which had varied, varied success in terms of my sticking to it, but learned some things, learned some movements and things like that, which was a good learning. And even just the actual idea, the act of investing the money in myself was itself a practice and something important. But I'm also investing in a podcast guesting mastermind coming up here in a little bit. But for the longest time, I was just completely unwilling to do it, right? And I didn't even realize it. And it just, but the funny thing is, I always say, like, my stock portfolio, and obviously in the last year, most of our stock portfolios have dropped a huge amount, right? It was like 20%, 30% at one point, right? I don't even think about that. But to invest a couple hundred dollars or a couple thousand dollars in myself seems, oh no, I can't do that. Doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. But missing that, having that self-compassion, I don't have to beat myself up about not being willing to invest in myself. I can just be aware of it and say, hey, is this serving me? Is this what I want? What would it look like if I invested in myself? What might the benefits be? And
what's
I've
stopping
started
me?
To do that. And what's Even stopping what's, me? Why am I unwilling? Yeah.
As I'd be curious, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but that was one of the first things I thought about as you said it is like, what? Huh, I wonder what stopped you. Because for a lot of us, I'm not saying this was you, but for a lot of us, there's a fear or there's a narrative or what does that mean if you investing? If I get a coach, does that mean that I'm not doing something well? Does it mean that I need that type of help? You may be someone who's learned through life experiences to not ask for help.
Yeah.
So the idea of sharing that, the idea of even having to get vulnerable with somebody for the relationship to work, that in itself could be a challenge. That freaks people out. So there's a lot of that. I'm not saying any of those things are you, but. Yeah. For a lot of people, that's what it's not just, I want to get this for the free or I just want it for free. There's usually other things there that are stopping you from making that investment.
And even when it is free, I've had opportunities where like people have been generous and offered to help me. So I just still wouldn't take the action. That's a big thing for me. Actually, it came up on that other podcast. It's like, I think that I'm unwilling to invest in myself because one, I don't trust myself to do the work. And then I feel like the money plus the shame of not doing the work is just like a bad combination for me.
Yes.
And then I just feel, so it's, oh, I'm not even going to do it. I'm not going to stick to it. And you heard me even talking about the exercise stuff, right? Like I'm saying, oh, I didn't do it, right? There's that fear. But so that's one thing. So
That's I love that you said that, because that's exactly how it goes for a lot of us, and it ends with quitting.
Yep.
Yeah, it ends with it. I say that about diets too, where it's like you started, let's say you're doing keto, and then you're doing one of these diets, and then you have one snack and you're like, oh, F it, I screwed up, I might as well eat everything.
That is me to a T, man. I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I'm like, let's burn this place to the ground. It's not useful. It's not useful. Yeah. One thing that's been really helpful is that that I learned from meditation. You can just start again, right? In meditation, if your mind wanders, whether it's been wandering for 1 second or 10 minutes, you can always just start again. And more macro, if you've been haven't been meditating for weeks, you can just start again. And that I've tried to apply that to every aspect of my life. And right now I need to apply that to fitness. I've been out of it for about a month, and it's been tough with my 8-month-old, but I miss it, and I know the benefit, right? So I want to get back to it.
Yeah, fitness, and that's a common one for a lot of people. It's easy to beat yourself up over that. And I always remind people, even with that, to give yourself credit for the things that you are doing, because as an overachiever and as someone who's constantly looking for the next thing, it can be easy to forget to do. It can be easy to forget to do that. For example, for sure. People are like, oh, I'll mention I'm a coach, and they're like, oh, I need to work out. I think you might have said the same thing. I need to work out. And I'm like, have you moved? Have you been moving around? They're like, yeah, I've been doing treadmill walks and things like that, but I haven't gotten to the gym. I'm like, that movement still counts. Exercise is structured movement, but movement isn't necessarily exercise. And you don't have to be exercising at all the times, but if you're moving, that's a good thing. So give yourself credit for the things that you are doing. And even when people aren't giving themselves credit for those things, it's usually because they're, again, looking at what someone else is doing or going off of someone else's barometer or what they've been told at some point in the time.
Or what they think they should be doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's definitely the case with me, right? It's this all or nothing thinking, right? If I can't do an hour workout, I might as well not do anything.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. But I love what you're saying about taking in the good, right? Focusing on the things that you are doing. Like I walked 2 or 3 miles yesterday, right? I went and got off the ferry and walked to the office. It's a 23-minute walk there, 23-minute walk back. That's something. Right? That's something. And it doesn't have to be. So with that, then you can start to train your mind to be like, what else can I do? I got 5 minutes here. Let me do some push-ups. Let me do some squats. And little by little. And I think I need to get back into that.
And what you're describing, that little by little and that confidence building, that's how the upward spiral begins. We talk about downward spirals.
Yeah.
But that's how the upward spiral begins. A lot of time it can start with something as simple as movement. And what I mean by that is one good habit or one behavior or one achievement. The word achievement can be loaded because some of us are overachievers. But one behavior, I'm trying to get away from that too. But one behavior, one thing leads to another thing that serves you, that leads to another thing that serves you. So you get out, you walk, you drink more water. You drink more water, maybe you eat healthier as well. You start thinking about what time you go to bed or something like that. And I just do a few random things out there that work like that. But like for me, the athlete example is, okay, I know I want to work out today. And to get the most of the workout today, I need to make sure I get a good night's sleep before the workout and after, because recovery happens while you're asleep. I also need to make sure that I'm properly hydrated today so that I don't cramp. And then I also need to think about how I eat afterwards to make sure that I'm getting the right amount of protein to get all of the benefits of the workout. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, that translates into what time I go to bed, what time I wake up, and then also how I structure my day. So that's like one thing leads to all of those other things. So that's when I talk about the upward spiral, I'm talking about that. And it also transfers to work, the way that I show up at work as a result of these other things. So one thing leads to another. And it's, again, it starts with something small.
Yeah. I think you mentioned a term earlier, micro achievements. Was that what it was?
Yeah. I just made that up on the spot.
Oh, and nice. It sounded like a thing and it sounded great.
Yeah. And to me, they're small wins. Those are those little moments that we typically skip past and say, okay, what's next? We even do that with big things. Even last year, just like the track, it's okay, I jumped this. Like, all right, what's next? All right, I got to get to the championship. But it's the simple, a micro achievement can be crossing something off your to-do list that's been sitting there. Or maybe it's just for that day. It can be bring to do your 10 minutes of stretching. You could probably say that's a bit more than micro. But it's about those little things that happen throughout the day. It's, again, it's about being present. I think that's part of what it comes down to, because to celebrate those micro achievements, you have to be present. There's no other way you can celebrate them. Because if you're in the future, you're not able to celebrate. And if you're thinking about what happened in the past, you're not able to celebrate what just happened either.
Yeah, exactly. Said. So, Rich, earlier you mentioned the idea of mental wealth, right? And your podcast is the Mental Wealth Show. You said that your idea of mental wealth has been evolving. And so I'd love to have you share, as you start most of your episodes, what does mental wealth mean to you?
Yeah, for me, it's really about the mindset, the behaviors, and also the investments that you're making in yourself. It's the totality of those three things. And mindset, there's a lot out there, oh, have a positive mindset. No, it's much more deeper and complex than that. When I'm thinking mindset, yes, there's the growth mindset and having an outlook of abundance. But there's also the way that you prioritize yourself. And there's also the way that you move in the world. There's intention. To me, that is also part of the mindset. Even being able to fail. I recently got rejected for something. No, it wasn't a job. Google, I'm not leaving. But I recently got rejected for something. And for a moment, like it hurt. For a few moments, it hurt. But I had to think about the mindset and my affirmations to be able to say, okay, like that thing happened. How do I get out of the present? Okay, what can I do in the future? Okay, how can I take what I learned? And I know even that's not being in the present, because there wasn't nothing to celebrate about this. But even in that situation, the mindset was, okay, that happened. What can I learn in the future? And even the feelings, okay, this does suck. And that's okay. That's a mindset thing. The behaviors, and I associate that more with wellness, where it's about the ways that you're taking care of yourself and the ways that you're moving toward what you want in life, whether that's better habits or whether that's a new career for yourself, whether that's something else that you're striving toward. And then investments, those are the things that we talked about or will talk about, where you're, whether it's investing time or investing financially to close the gap or to help you get back on track in areas where you feel that the efforts that you've made alone or that the information that you have at this point in time isn't quite where you need it to be to get where you want to go. So mental wealth to me is the totality of those three things.
Love it. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. So, Rich, let's shift gears now to what I call the Mindful Fire Final Four. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So, Rich, the first question is all about envisioning. I talk a lot about envisioning on the podcast. It's had a huge impact in my life. I'd love for you to share a story about something that you envisioned making happen in your life. We talked about a few so far, so you can talk about one of those or something else, but something that you thought, that would be awesome. I'm not sure how I'm going to make that happen, but how having that clarity in your mind helped you move towards it.
I love this question because it relates to something I've been talking about lately, and it goes back to my coach. One of the first things that my leadership coach had me do was an exercise where I envisioned a day 2 to 3 years in the future. So this was back in 2020. And to just freeform write from the beginning of that day to the end of the day, how that day went. And he told me to spend as much time on it as I wanted. I thought it would be brief. I ended up writing pages and pages. And in that envisioning document, I talked about being in the best shape of my life. I talked about being in a comfortable place as far as entrepreneurially, if that's a word, and how things were going. I talked about the way that I was showing up at work. I even talked about track and field, even though training wasn't a thought at the time. And I realized recently that everything, just about everything that I wrote, the only thing that's probably not happening is me and my fiance taking these walks and talking about the day. That's probably the only thing that doesn't happen, even though we do still talk about those things. But I realized that everything I'd written down had actually happened. And it wasn't even a conscious thing like that, where I'm like, okay, I wrote this years ago, it has to happen. It's just, there was something about actually writing it that, man, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but to see those things that I wrote down and envisioned years ago happen today because of and I attribute in some part to that exercise, powerful.
Yeah. I love that, dude. And I've had that same experience. Like I recently was cleaning out my backpack, and I dug into one of the pockets and I found a piece of paper that was basically my wife and I sitting down and doing an envisioning exercise similar to that. You did Search Inside Yourself, right? The exercise that we do in there where we envision 5 years from now, describing how all the amazing things that have happened in our life. And it was the same thing. It was the house and the family and the this and the that, and it was all there. and it had all happened, right? And that's the power of this, right? It's the fact that our brains are predictive. And so when we create some space to think big about our life and what we really want, we plant those seeds in our mind and our mind goes to work looking for evidence and opportunities to move towards that. And I've heard so many examples of this and I've had so many examples of this. So it's really cool. And so glad to hear that's the case. And sounds like the going for walks and talking rather than just talking at home, like that's an easy fix that you can round out the list and knock it all out.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And that's probably the most powerful envisioning thing that I've done. And I don't think about it as much because it's worked in the subconscious. There's other stuff where I've dreamed of being back out on the track and things like that. And even the envisioning what it would feel like to compete and not just maybe not win, but just to compete. And that was a motivating factor because it helps with creating emotional goals is what I call them, where I may tell a client, envision how it feels to accomplish that thing or how it will feel. What will it be like? And that's been motivating too, like envisioning like, man, like we're to the point where when you envision something that you almost tear up about it or you tear up about it, that tells you that it's really important to you. And there's something in that that I found is that just really connects me to the goal. And it's helped people that I work with really connect to their goals and strive toward them too, being able to actually feel what it's like to achieve those things.
Yeah. Emotions are so important for us, right? Emotions, like essentially energy in motion, right? And so the more we can tap into those feelings now, the more we just move towards them. And yeah, that visualization, all of that is watering the seeds, right? You planted the seeds when you did that exercise. And then every time you thought about that, you're just watering those seeds and cultivating that plant and moving towards it. And so it can't help but happen when you do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if people want to do an exercise like this, they can certainly download the free envisioning guide I have at mindfulfire.org/start. And I'll do an exact exercise very similar to that. All right. All right, Rich. Question number two. All right, Rich, the next question is, what piece of advice would you give to someone early on their path to financial independence?
What advice would I give? I can't say that it's advice. It's a question. And the first thing I want to know is why. Not because it's bad, good, but again, it's just such a critical question to understand, like, why are you striving for that thing? What is it going to allow you to do? I want to make sure that if someone is committed to, whether it's financial independence or anything significant in life, that they understand why they're committed to it and what it's going to ultimately allow them to do. Because I think we both know people who've pursued FIRE or folks that achieved FIRE and they weren't as happy as they thought they'd be, because it turned out that actually FIRE was what they thought that they wanted and they thought that would solve everything that they had going on. But and there are people out there where they're like, okay, I got the finances, I've saved, I've done all this, and they have this extra time now and they're not enjoying it. So again, it's not direct advice per se, or maybe the advice is to make sure that you're doing it for reasons that serve you. But that's probably going to be the first thing that I start with for someone, is like why, and making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons, because that's also going to make it easier, for lack of a better word, to stick to it because it's something that you actually want.
Yeah, said. I think that's an excellent piece of advice, which hasn't come up before, though it is part of what Mindful Fire is all about, right? It's like you need to ask that question. Why are you doing this? And that requires self-awareness. That requires mindfulness, which is awareness and curiosity and kindness towards yourself. And just keep coming back to that, right? Why? And I think that's so important. Right. I have that with FIRE. I have that with the podcast. Sometimes I find myself totally burnt out and I'm like, why am I even doing this? What? Why am I putting all this work in for $0? It comes back. You come back to that why. And I think that's really important. All right. The third question is, what piece of advice would you give to someone getting started with meditation and or mindfulness?
There's no way to do it wrong. Because I know so many people, even just last week, they're like, oh, I need to get back into meditation, but I can't focus. I'm like, that is the whole point, is the only thing you're supposed to do is acknowledge it, be kind to yourself about it, and then get back to whatever the focal point was or whatever the grounding activity is. Mm-hmm. And
it's all
and
about awareness.
It's all about awareness. So you can't do it wrong. That's why even sometimes with people, I think I posted on one of the platforms, like meditation is overrated. And it wasn't that I disagreed with meditation. It's just that what people think of it as, they think of it as like this thing where, oh, I'm not supposed to have any thoughts in my mind, or I'm supposed to achieve this just feeling of calm and nirvana. And I've had times where like I've meditated and I've thought to myself, okay, I finished up and I've still got some tension. Maybe it's a little bit better, but okay, that's like the takeaway for me. Maybe this particular thing is really on my mind. Hmm. That may be the takeaway, but I always tell people who are thinking about it, I'm like, worse, you can't do it wrong. The objective isn't to have a completely clear mind. It's to notice and then to bring yourself back to whatever the grounding action, tapping, whatever it may be.
Yeah, great advice. I think that's the number one thing that people say ever I've talked to or taught meditation or talked to people about it is, I'm convinced I'm doing it wrong. That was certainly my experience. I actually gave up. And fortunately, the person who introduced me to it gave me I ran into him a few months later and he gave me the real talk that like, that's normal. That's exactly what is going to happen. Your mind creates thoughts. So
yeah,
good to know. All right, Rich, the last question is, how can people connect with you online, find your podcast, your coaching, all the things that you're contributing to the world? How can they find all that online?
Man, I was waiting for the doozy. Thank you for this layup / lob off the backboard. So you can find me on LinkedIn. That's the social media platform of choice. Rich Jones. I could probably provide a link for you to share with folks to get directly to my LinkedIn profile since there are so many Rich Joneses out there. I think if you search at Rich Runs Track, it'll come up. So at Rich Runs Track on LinkedIn, at Rich Runs Track on Instagram, at Rich Runs Track on Twitter. You can find the podcast at The Mental Wealth Show. And everything that's going on within my world and my orbit, you can find at findmorebalance.com. That's where you can learn about my coaching, my speaking. Mental Health Awareness Month is in May. I know that there's other themed months coming up. So if you're thinking about speakers and you want to bring someone in who will make you look good, I can be that dude. So all that information is at findmorebalance.com. And yeah, at Rich Runs Track across social media platforms. And I look forward to hearing from folks. I've had a few people who reached out to me from other podcasts that I've been on LinkedIn, on these other platforms. I do respond.
Yeah. Awesome. I will link all of that up in the show notes. And yeah, I see you chatting with people on LinkedIn all the time. So yeah, definitely reach out to him, ask your questions and follow both of us. We're both here to engage with you and have these conversations. And we're all just figuring it out and investing in ourselves and trying to live the life we want to live. So reach out.
Yes, we're all on a journey.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate you being here. It's, as I said at the beginning, it's been a long time coming and it's been a pleasure to dive into this with you. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this one.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Mindful Fire Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this. This just lets the platforms know you're getting value from the episodes and you want to be here when I release additional content. If you're ready to start your Mindful Fire journey, go to mindfulfire.org/start and download my free envisioning guide. In just 10 minutes, this guide will help you craft a clear and inspiring vision for your life. Again, you can download it for free at mindfulfire.org/start. Thanks again, and I'll catch you next time on the Mindful Fire Podcast.